All right, Kyle, let's get this motherfucker started. Kyle? Kyle? That's right, Kyle is not here this week. It's going to be just me and you, the audience, reviewing Iron Man 3. And hopefully very, very soon we're going to hear from Kyle as he reviews Thor: The Dark World. This won't be something that we're going to do consistently. It's just something we wanted to do to remain committed to watching all of the movies in the MCU leading up to Endgame, and, well, hell, leading up to Captain Marvel, which drops next week, and I got my tickets, so that we can, you know, review and talk about the movies, things we like, things we didn't like, how they line up within the MCU, and maybe some discrepancies within the comics, which is, you know, my go-to for that is Kyle, and he's not here, so I'm just going to have to hold up and give you some pretty good content, hopefully. So without further ado, let's hear from myself and my thoughts on Iron Man 3. While I am only one half of the Don't Get Him Started podcast, I'm still going to attempt to bring this to you. One of the greatest things about this movie, just starting off, is it takes place during Christmas. There is multiple Christmas decorations, and there's a lot of Christmas music. Unfortunately, there's a really annoying and just kind of misplaced dancing scene with Robert Downey Jr. when he's trying out his new implants as far as his new suit technology goes. And that scene kind of, for me, lines up something like Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire when he has Venom coursing through his suit. I did not like it, and I'd prefer that it not be there. I feel like it's one of those moments, too, where Robert Downey Jr. was really getting into the moment, and he actually like really felt like he was doing something amazing with those dance moves. I didn't think so. This movie overall, it was very dark. We see him, Tony Stark, go through anxiety attacks for the first time ever. Everything has to do with what happened in Avengers in New York, and we brought the nuclear bomb through the wormhole. And this movie just kind of brings out more and more of, I guess, the holes that we can see within our heroes and in the everything leading up to Endgame, really. That kind of, one of my biggest fears is watching your superheroes or heroes lose their powers or lose their ability to be powerful. And this was a movie where it was just focused solely on that. This movie, Kyle and I have referenced in the past, is a movie where we see a lot of Tony Stark, and we see a lot of him in that duality and just kind of fighting who he is. Is he Iron Man? Is he the person that saved New York, or is he the person that can't deal with the fact that he doesn't know what the fuck he saw and what, you know, he's constantly battling that he's falling in love with Pepper, and he's able to like love and let go of a lot of his inability to care, and now he cares about something, which means he has everything to lose. And that's what we see in this movie, which I like that tone. And I didn't really notice until Kyle and I started talking about it that Iron Man himself doesn't really make a lot of appearances. It's Tony Stark with some gadgets that, you know, go towards the end of the movie, but the Iron Man suit just kind of lays dormant in the garage. So in this one, there are also a couple of villains. The Mandarin is the first villain we see in this movie. And the Mandarin is played by Ben Kingsley. We find out later that he's a puppet for Killian, who is someone that Tony Stark once again burned and now has to deal with as a villain. He is someone who took on the new technology of Extremis, and Extremis is something where you can not only regenerate, but you have these superhuman powers of being able to regenerate and to spit fire. And the Mandarin is just a pawn in this whole game, which is a hilarious. It's hilarious as far as how Ben Kingsley plays it. I will say that much. It's very anti-American, which is similar to the first Iron Man, where they focused a lot on the Middle East and the representation in that war. I felt like this was kind of, it was very similar. It was very real.
True story about fortune cookies. They look Chinese. They sound Chinese. But they're actually an American invention, which is why they're hollow, full of lies, and leave a bad taste in the mouth.
I just
disciples just destroyed another cheap American knockoff. The Chinese theater. Mr. President, I know this must be getting frustrating, but this season of terror is drawing to a close. And don't worry, the big one is coming. Your graduation.
Have someone break into a broadcast and then just shoot a government official, even though that was fake. Well, I don't know if that part was fake, but a lot of it was. And you find out that Guy Pearce, who is Killian, is someone who is not to be fucked with, and that Tony Stark fucked with him. And since Stark Industries won't take him up, which, you know, Pepper Potts turned down the new Extremis project, he then, you know, has an even bigger vendetta with Tony Stark and wants to get rid of him. With these villains, we see a lot of bad things happen to people in Tony Stark's world. So we see Happy Hogan actually almost get demolished and leveled by one of the individuals who had been experimented on through Extremis, who had now been planted as a bomb at the Chinese theater. And he's also integral into finding these villains. But that was pretty intense. And then again, you see Tony feel. And then he just deals with anxiety as he goes out and tries to get revenge. I really liked this movie, if I haven't mentioned it already. I think that one thing we get to see in this is stellar acting by Guy Pearce, by Ben Kingsley, and by Robert Downey Jr. Now, this is where I'm going to share a little bit of my love for him and why I love him so much. If we think about the press scene where he calls out the Mandarin and says he, you know, to come and come and get him, or he said, "You're dead and I'm going to come get the body." Like all of the, not only the, how he delivered his lines, but his eye contact he makes with the reporter, some of the conversations he has with Happy later on where he's, Happy calls him because he's really uncomfortable with the security clearance of the guy that's in the building with Guy Pearce. He's so invested in his character at this point. And Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark, and Tony Stark is Robert Downey Jr. But it just kind of showcases how great of an actor he is. And, you know, Guy Pearce has already, like, proved his worth in other films. And, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow is solid as Pepper Potts, but I really believe that the rest of the cast in this are so strong, and that storyline is so focused on, like I said, that duality between wanting to protect the ones that he has let into love, versus being this heroic, like this almost like narcissistic hero that everybody expects him to be. He's been battling with that since the first one and then throughout the other Avengers movies, and now he's here. But he is so integral to the MCU that, you know, we know he has to come out on top and he has to deal with these demons. And that's what we see him deal with in this. So there is action. When he finally gets to Tennessee, he, you know, has to deal with the fact that he has no armor, the suit has no power because his Malibu home just got demolished. And then we see, you know, him build a relationship with his kid, which is one of probably my favorite scenes of banter between two characters in an Iron Man movie. We get to see Tony Stark, you know, in a different element, the element of the mechanic, being someone who is ambiguous, someone who doesn't have an identity, who wants to kind of remain hidden so that he can find out a little bit more about himself and about what's going on in this town or what has already happened. And the banter between him and the kid from Jurassic World, Ty Simpkins, is priceless. I actually want to listen to that right now.
Freeze! Don't move.
You got me. Nice potato gun. Barrel's a little long. Between that and the wide gauge, it's gonna diminish your FPS. And now you're out of ammo.
What's that thing on your chest?
It's a electromagnet. You should know. I've got a box of them right here.
What does it power? Oh my god! Is that Iron Man?
Technically, I am.
Technically, you're dead.
Valid point.
What happened to him?
Life. I built him. I take care of him. I'll fix him.
Like a mechanic?
Yeah.
If I was building Iron Man and War Machine...
It's Iron Patriot now.
That's way cooler.
No, it's not.
Anyways, I would have added in, the retro...
Retro-reflective panels?
To make him stealth mode.
You want a stealth mode?
Cool, right?
That's actually a good idea. Maybe I'll build one. Not a good idea. What are you doing? You gonna break his finger? He's in pain. He's been injured. Leave him alone.
Sorry.
Are you? Don't worry about it. I'll fix it. So, who's home?
Well, my mom already left for the diner, and Dad went to 7-Eleven to get scratchers. I guess he won, because that was 6 years ago.
Which happens, Dad's leave. No need to be a pussy about it. Here's what I need. A laptop, a digital watch, a cell phone, the pneumatic actuator from your bazooka over there, map of town, a big spring, and a tuna fish sandwich.
What's in it for me?
Salvation. What's his name?
Who?
The kid that bullies you at school. What's his name?
How'd you know that?
I got just the thing. This is a pinata for a cricket. I'm kidding, it's a very powerful weapon. Pointed away from your face, press the button on top. It discourages bullying. Non-lethal, just to cover one's ass. Deal? Deal? What do you say?
Deal.
Deal? What's your name?
Harley. And you're...
The mechanic. Tony. You know what keeps going through my head? Where's my sandwich?
It is so funny. That is, again, the humor in this movie is so quick and it's so specific and it just keeps everything, the dialogue, the whole storyline moving along. As the movie progresses, you see Tony Stark not only deal with these demons, but we get to see a little bit more of him as the inventor and someone who is really into creating these, the weapons that help him help others. And so he breaks in, he discovers, he finds out about the Mandarin. But then that fight scene at the end where he is bringing in all of the different versions of the suits, and then we find out Pepper Potts has been injected with the Extremis. The one thing that I don't know if, you know, maybe someone can correct me on this, whether it's on Instagram or if you want to email me at don'tgethimstarted@gmail.com. I don't know when and where she gets the Extremis taken out of her, because as we've seen in the movie, either the people explode and die, or their body accepts it and they're able to utilize it, which she actually does. But the fight scene that we see with Tony Stark jumping from suit to suit, we see the Iron Patriot come to play, which is War Machine, but he gets rebranded. When you watch this scene is this culmination of all of the films, all of Tony Stark's inventions, everything that he's fought for, now what he is finally fighting for, which is Pepper Potts. He's being selfless at this point, and just everything then at the end, he just destroys. So, and then, you know, finally he gets rid of multiple enemies. He calls out the Mandarin and he calls, you know, he murders or burns to death Guy Pearce, which is a very sad story. And it's, you know, I guess the most relevant for me right now, I guess, would be The Incredibles with Incrediboy, when, you know, Mr. Incredible kind of shuns him when he's younger because he's being an irritant and he's always around and ruining things. And then he grows up and he becomes his worst enemy. And then you kind of feel bad a little bit because if just one thing could have changed, if he could have just said one thing different, if he would have met him on the roof in this film and had that conversation with him and talked about Extremis, just given him 5 minutes, he wouldn't have turned out to be a villain. But, you know, here we are. And Iron Man 3 is, in my opinion, one of the better Iron Man movies. It's one of the best continued stories within the film. And this one, within the film franchise, and this one, as I've mentioned in other episodes, this one can stand alone again. As long as you know Tony Stark and that he's Iron Man, you get to watch a movie that can honestly stand on its own and you know, doesn't need, I mean, you need the other Iron Man movies, but it doesn't need the MCU to stand alone, which I enjoyed. Let's actually move to some trivia now. There's probably some other things in the movie. Those are the things that stood out to me, but I'd love to move to some trivia. This is the first movie in the Iron Man franchise not to be directed by Jon Favreau. He turned this down to direct another movie. He still came on as Happy Hogan, but there was also some contractual things that led to him not wanting to be a part of the franchise anymore. There was a lot of people with their hands on these projects, and if you weren't ready for that, it wasn't happening. This is the first Iron Man movie and the first movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that doesn't hint at events of the future in the mid-credits and or in the post-credit scene, which is pretty incredible. And this is chapter one in the phase two of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. As we talked about, the last movie, The Avengers, concluded phase one. So this is chapter one. This is also the first Iron Man movie to gross over $1 billion and the second Marvel movie to reach this mark, with Avengers being the first, as we talked about in the last episode. The post-credit scene was originally meant to have Tony Stark blasting off into space to meet the Guardians of the Galaxy. Iron Man was going to have a cameo in the Guardians of the Galaxy, which was an homage for him to be one of the latest members of the Guardians in the comics. But it was scrapped when Robert Downey Jr. said he may not reprise his role as Tony Stark in the future. Instead, Bruce Banner appeared in the first post-credit scene. Let's talk about that Stan Lee cameo. He comes in as a beauty pageant judge. Again, getting away from that theme where he is mistaken for someone else. You know, rest in peace. And we keep hearing over and over about what it's going to look like for him moving forward. I still haven't seen the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, so I haven't seen what that cameo looks like. But everything from here on out is probably going to be digital, which is, I don't know, for what it's worth is good, because it's still kind of paying homage to the creator of these fine, fine comics and how they have interpreted and translated into the cinematic realm. But it's just going to be interesting, and Endgame is definitely going to have some. I guarantee Captain Marvel will have something too. The final credit scene, or the post-credit scene in this one, has us looking at a very different-looking Mark Ruffalo. And I don't know if it's the haircut or the goatee, but he's sitting down and he's playing therapist to Tony Stark. He's actually falling asleep, which is interesting, and he lets him know that he's not that kind of doctor, which I thought was hilarious. It just kind of plays on their relationship, because in the comics and in the movies, what we see and what we don't see, they have a nickname for each other as a duo, the Science Bros, or the I believe that's what they're called, the Science Brothers. But it's they have a really good relationship, and what we see here is that kind of blossoming a little bit from the Avengers as they've gotten to know each other in the movie realm anyway. So that's it. That's what I got. I like the movie. Again, it's very dark, and it's challenging that inner self with Tony Stark. And it's also challenging some villains, some really like scary villains, whether it was Ben Kingsley, who was pretending to be scary, still a scary concept, or whether it was Guy Pearce as Aldrich Killian playing someone who has this godlike power. And we finally see Tony come to grips with it, save the person he loves. And it sets us up for Thor: The Dark World, which I'm going to have some audio coming from Kyle on that. And as I mentioned earlier, I can't wait to hear what it sounds like. For now, I will say peace. And for Kyle, I will say good night and good luck, because we're in the end game now. I can't wait for Captain Marvel. It's coming out next week. Email us at don'tgethimstarted@gmail.com and or follow us at don'tgethimstarted pod, I think, on Instagram. I think that's where we are. I mean, whatever it is, please go follow us. Tell your friends. Rate and review the podcast. Okay, I'll stop talking. Peace.